Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
This is the true story of a New York City boy with big town hopes and small neighborhood dreams, of becoming BFFs with the Real Housewives and other Bravo celebrities. Then, one day, that dream actually came true. Let me take you behind the velvet rope.
Hey everyone, this is David. Welcome back behind the velvet rope. Let's just get right into it today because we are joined by the one, the only, Mr. Bruno Duarte.
Hi guys, how are you guys doing?
What is going on? From Below Deck season 5.
Yeah, season 5, a long time ago. Season.
it was a while ago, right?
It's like 3-4 years now, I think.
Wow.
It goes fast. It goes really fast.
Now, where are you? And I'm looking at your lovely apartment in the background. It looks very nice. But where are you in the world?
So I'm currently in France, living in Cannes right now. So I've moved from Portugal over here because of the yachting industry. It's much better for me. So French Riviera, it's where it all happens.
And you're from Portugal originally?
I am, yeah. That's true.
And you lived in Portugal pretty much your whole life up until recently, or you've been traveling around because of yachting?
Yeah, I've been traveling around. I mean, I was raised in Spain actually, and then I moved back to Portugal, grew up the rest of my life there until I was 21. And then when I was 21, I started the cruise ship industry and the yachting industry. So that's since I was 21, I've just been traveling all around.
I've traveled all over. Portugal is nice. It's a great city.
Yeah, it's good. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's a beautiful country. It is.
Now, I mean, speaking of Portugal, I don't know when you left Portugal to move to France, but were you there during the Madonna years? And I mean, is Portugal like, let's just get this right out of the way, right up front.
Yes, I was in Portugal while Madonna was there. She's a little bit of a troublemaker, to be honest. No, but yeah, I don't know if she's still there though. I don't know if she moved back to US or whatever. But yeah, she spent a long time there.
Why was she a troublemaker? Just was there like a whole buzz around her arrival?
Yeah,
in the country?
I mean, it was a big buzz. She usually goes to Portugal for vacations anyway, so we know where she goes, hotels, etc. And then when she moved with her kids and everything, she, like, all the media and all the news, of course, were talking about it, and all the little dirty things were coming up. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on now.
Was it crazy, like around her house? Like I could just see people waiting outside all day for her.
Cause it's I don't think so. I mean, the thing is, like, people in Portugal, I think in Europe generally, they don't get so crazy. Like I mean, if I was in US and I would see a famous person, probably I would go ballistics crazy. Like, but when we see someone famous in Europe, we tend not to go crazy and jump on them and take pictures. Sometimes we just actually are too shy about her, maybe. I don't know. So I think she felt she was safe in Portugal because no one would bother her, to be honest. So yeah, it's a different world in Europe.
It is. I mean, yeah, people in the US go crazy over celebrity more so than Europe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, I do remember when she moved there and there was all this but I mean, it's a good thing for the Portugal economy, I would think. Like, she bought a house. Or she rented a house, yeah, whatever.
Well, the economy in Portugal, it's crazy for all the people that is not Portuguese or that don't necessarily have any connections with Portugal itself. Like real estate, whatever, everyone is coming from outside of Portugal right now. So, I mean, I think Portugal is more for non-Portuguese citizens than the Portuguese citizens themselves. So, yeah, it's kind of tricky. I mean, it's a beautiful country. A lot of people just decide to move. And live there. But we that are Portuguese, we decide to live out of Portugal. So we are giving our country away.
That makes sense. I just had to ask, let's just get the Madonna thing out of the way up front. I know that's such an American question, but I mean, it's the queen of the world. We have to show, we have to bow down and show respect.
It is. Yeah, she's iconic. Yeah.
I mean, it's Madonna now.
It's Madonna.
So how did you fall into yachting? Like, how did that happen?
Well, I mean, I fell into yachting because of Below Deck. That's the most strange thing, I think. Because when I started the cruise ships, I mean, it was my dream. When I was in high school, I remember saying to my teachers that when they're asking, oh, what do you want to do for the future, blah, blah, blah. And I'll say, I want to work on the cruise ships. And they were saying oh, you're crazy. You're never going to do that. Like, you're going to work on the restaurant here in Lisbon. And I was like, no. So when I was actually 21, I because you can only start when you're 21, American law. So when I was 21, I started with Royal Caribbean. And it was my first sail going Miami, Fort Lauderdale. And I was traveling already. And then after moving to super yachting of Seabourn, which is a big sort of cruise ships company now, a lot of my colleagues were talking about yachting, and a lot of them were switching to yachting instead of carrying on cruise ships. And then I met my American best friend, which I call her American wife. She's from South Carolina, and she introduced me with Below Deck. She used to watch the show every day on her cabin, and I used to hang out with her a lot. And she showed me the first time. I was like, oh, wow, this is the yachting industry we're talking about. Like, this is so cool. And I wanted to do a season as a deckhand. So I'm an officer on majority of my career. I'm an officer. And when I applied for a Below Deck season 5, I applied as a deckhand, a junior deckhand. Like, I had no idea how to work on a yacht, what was the difference, departments, the exterior, the interior, and how the team would work. So for some reason, a year after I applied, I got a phone call, I got into interviews, and I got in. And that was my first time on a yacht working as a deckhand, and that was season 5. And then from that season, I just decided that I needed to continue, and I just carry on working on yachts.
What made you want to go into cruise ships to begin with? Like, in high school, where did that excitement come from?
Well, I love the hospitality industry, all about, because I started in I have a degree on hotel management. So everything that had to do hospitality, hotels, restaurants, finances, accounting, all of that, that manages a big industry, I was always very interested about. So a cruise ship is like the hub of everything, because you can manage all departments, housekeeping, F&B, everything. So when I started cruise ship on the Royal Caribbean, my first contract was actually as a waiter. So I was literally a number in the middle of thousands on crew. And from that, I worked literally my ass off on my first contract. And I was seen by guest relations manager from corporate, and they saw me how they were, the way I was working with people, and they invited me to become an officer. And that's why I shift from waiter to an officer on those giant boats. And then from there, I just carry on being an officer and carry on with the yachting as well, the same thing.
And it's so funny that, so this best friend of yours from America, she actually was on a ship and she just was watching below deck.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then you just watched it. Like, what season was this? Do you remember? And was it Captain Lee or Captain Sandy?
No. It was Captain Lee for sure, because it was way before I started my season. So if my season was the season 5, I probably was watching season 2 maybe, which was already with Kate. I think it was the first Kate's season, because she wasn't on season 1. She started with season 2.
Right.
And I think I saw season 2 with my friend. And then, I got on season 5.
And how did you apply? Like, you just looked at the Bravo website and found an email, or like how
honestly don't remember. I remember myself making the video, the introduction video that you have to make, like a couple of minutes talking about yourself and whatever. And I was in Lisbon in a small apartment with my fiance. And I remember that I was typing in, filling up the form, because I was like, the thing is, the only thing that was in my mind was like, I want to work as a deckhand. It wasn't even crossing my mind about the show, because I had no idea how that worked at that time. So I was like, okay, I want to work as a deckhand. I was so nervous, and I did the video and then everything. And it was like a year apart when I got in the first call and the interviews. And only when I started working on Board of Valor, I was like, okay, I need to do the work now. But on the show, you have two works. You have your work as a deckhand, in my case. And then you have the work as you have the cameras on you and you're on the show. So it was way overwhelming. It was crazy.
And did you watch it like that whole time? Like from the time you apply, you know, like from the time season two, season 3, season 4.
Yeah. I was glued to Below Deck at that time. I think, on my opinion, Below Deck before, it was more interesting in a way that like it was fresh. It wasn't not so many seasons. The people was always changing, which now I have a completely different like image about Below Deck. I didn't even never watch after my season. Like I think I only watched a couple episodes on season 6 and then I stopped and I couldn't watch it anymore, because it's not the same thing. It's weird.
Do you think the show has changed? Like in the sense that it's less about yachting and more about...
Exactly. So one thing, and the thing that I have a lot for my fans is like, they love the way that I was portrayed and the way that I showed me on the show, myself as on the show, is that I was so focused on the work. I was so focused in the team, on the guests and everything. And the thing is, with the people there on the show more than once, for example, when they call back, for example, Nico, Kate, whatever, they turn that show into a giant script novella, because they know the tips, the tricks, what to say on the camera, how to make you upset, to make a drama scene on the camera. And when I was on that season, even if I was a junior, and even if it was the first time I was with cameras on my face, it's like, I'm not stupid. Like, I'm not gonna ask someone else just because I have a camera on me. So I decided to be always 100% myself on the show. And I think that came through very well. And that's why a lot of people come to me and appreciate the fact that I was like, I wasn't pretending to be someone else, or I wasn't pretending to create drama or be real or something else or whatever. It was just me, period. Like, and I think on this, the seasons that continue after mine, a lot of the same people came back and I think it became more script over and like more often, and especially with guests and everything. And the thing is, like, if you are in one season and we watch after, you actually can see the little placements they do with editing and the things they do. You're like, oh, okay, this is actually not like that because they did this. And you catch everything, something that the people won't realize, but Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That. I'm sorry. I'm talking too
No. I think it's all very, no, I mean, I would agree with a lot of that. I think it's interesting. Like, were you shocked at yourself? Like when you watched yourself back?
Oh my God.
Did you see editing? Like, oh, that's not really how I remember.
Yeah, I saw, you know what? I think I had a rumble of emotions, and I honestly, what saved me the most was the...
Before we continue this conversation, I just want to say that 2020 has certainly been a year. And at the beginning of quarantine, there was a lot getting in the way of my happiness and achieving my goals. And I turned to BetterHelp, which is online professional counseling. And it really helped me not only achieve happiness during this time, but really achieve my goals. Behind the Velvet Rope went from 2 times a week to 4 times a week. And I wrote a book, the Behind the Velvet Rope book. So for anyone that feels that things are getting in the way of their happiness and achieving their goals, I strongly recommend BetterHelp. You don't even have to leave your house. It is online professional counseling. And what I love about it is you can start communicating with them within 24 hours of signing up. Anyone that knows me knows that if you don't get back to me, that is a huge pet peeve of mine. These counselors get back to you in a very timely manner, and you're really matched with a counselor that fits your needs. If you get a counselor that you don't like, you can just request another counselor. Everything, of course, is confidential. They deal with a variety of issues: depression, stress, anxiety, sleep. We're all having trouble sleeping during this. Trauma, anger, family conflicts, self-esteem, grief, LGBTQIA issues. And I have to say, it is actually more affordable than traditional online counseling, and financial aid is available for anyone that cannot afford it. So they're growing so rapidly, and so many people are turning to BetterHelp for help that they're looking for additional counselors in all 50 states. Go to betterhelp.com. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/velvetrope. BetterHelp.com/velvetrope, and you get 10% off your first month. Join over 1 million people today taking charge of their mental health. You're not alone. If you need help, this is a great solution. BetterHelp.com/velvetrope and get 10% off your first month.
The cluster of good fans that I had that made my, a nice support that made me go through with a lot of things that you can't even imagine that people say or whatever. But the first couple episodes, especially the first one, I looked to myself and I couldn't recognize me. I couldn't recognize myself. It was like, that person is not me. I was so overwhelmed because I had no support for how to do the job. The my bosun, which was Nico, they were more focused in the cameras, what they needed to say in the cameras. Like they weren't focusing actually, okay, we start at 8, we finish at 7, we have to pick up uniforms, we have to do the NOS, we have to train, we have to do this. And they would always think, okay, let's do something that would be on camera and it would create something that would make the viewers like. They would never think about exactly drama. And the thing is, and I mean, I'm on in the industry of the adding industry for more than like 4 years now. I've been in the cruise ship industry since I was 21. I'm 31 now. I'm 11. I have 10 years of experience at sea. And I can tell you, for everyone that watches this podcast, if you go to a normal season on a yacht, you have the double or the triple time of dramas and problems and issues and accidents and hookups than the show that shows. A lot of people in the industry, they don't like to watch Below Deck because they say, oh, that's not real and whatever, which it's not true. Below Deck doesn't show not even 1% what's the reality of the adding industry. You have no idea each year how many accidents, how many crew drama, how many stories we hear of crew doing random and weird things and deaths and kills and accidents with the boat and guests and nothing is compared to what you see on Below Deck. So that's why I stopped watching, because I look at that and I'm like, this is actually boring. Like, why do you create a big drama because your tender got loose or you have to go and jump overboard to save a person that is not even drowning because she has a life jacket. I mean, like, it, those things that Bravo now is creating it because they have no more ideas of what's going on. Like, they have no ideas. So then they're trying to inject these little things that you look at that, I'm like, that doesn't even make any sense. It's just like, why would you watch that? But again, they have a lot of people watching, right? So it's just, like, I think they could like change completely their franchise on a much better way instead of putting like sailing yachts or whatever, which just doesn't even call much of attention whatsoever, because I think even here didn't even have much success either. But yeah.
Like, you think, like, in the real world, the drama's way bigger, and that these people, like, then create fake drama to make the show, because there's really no drama.
I can tell you what they create on the show is from people that have no experience whatsoever on the yachting industry. If they put more people on the show that they actually have experience on the industry, or people that actually have ears in their shoulders of working on boats, they would bring much more on to the plate of what's the reality, to be honest. Because the problem with Below Deck is that they do the work on board for the time they need to film with the cameras. They don't do the work on the boat because they're on the charter or because you have guests on board. Yes, the guests are there, but when that timing with filming of the day is finished, the day is over. They take you into a van, they put you on a bar in the restaurant, they're trying to give you alcohol and trying to see if they can film drama with hookups and whatever. And on the normal yachting industry, you can have that 10 times more, because the people actually work really hard. They get so tired. They drink at the end of the day to celebrate the day they work really hard. They might have fights during the day. At the end of the day, they try not to hook up because they have a saying that do not screw with the crew. And all these things, like a lot of things always happens, and it's just natural. And what I see on Below Deck, it's not natural anymore. And on my season, I think I'm talking about my fans though. I'm not talking about the general public, of course, but my fans, like, they will always say everything that I did, it seemed natural, and it was. And a lot of crew and a lot of friends of mine that work on industry, they ask me like, oh, is Below Deck scripted? And I'm like, not on my season. On my season, it wasn't scripted, because even for myself, I didn't allow it to. If they try to create little, plant little things, so they trying to see if something comes out of it, I always stopped. I will never allow, and I have a couple situations on my season, and I've never allowed to be artificial like that. It was always natural.
And who gave you these little hints in your ear and the alcohol? That was the producers?
Yeah, I mean, for example, they try to hook me up with Brianna. And first of all, on the yachting industry in general, you don't mix cabins. You have female and you have males. Of course, if the crew agree, you can definitely have both genders on the same cabin. That is not an issue. I've just left from a boat that was like that. I was sharing with a second stewardess, because I'm a chief stew, and the second stewardess was a girl, and she was sharing the cabin with me. So the thing is, I think I actually lost
they said to you like, hey, Bruno, do you want to go for Brianna, like that?
No. They'll say like, actually Brianna was like, they're trying to hook me up with her because they said like, oh, do you want to go on a date with her? And they tried to plan like we go, because on the episode that she went to the beach with Matt, the chef, it was actually supposed to be me. But when I talked to Brianna and said like, listen, the guys, the producers, they want me to have a date with you, but you know that you're just my friend. We will get along so well, and I would never try in a million years to do something with you just because you're on the show. So we both refused, like, no, I'm not going to go on a date with each other because it doesn't make any sense. But then Matt jumped in the scene, and they brought Matt. She was kind of like not interested or just curious about it. And they did the thing. And then, of course, it went wrong, really wrong, because the beach theme scene was terrible because Matt got drunk.
Like the producers put it in your ear, like, maybe you should go on a date.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they will plan it. They will definitely plan.
And then what about alcohol? Same thing. Like, they're like, why don't you have another drink? Does anyone else think buying gifts for the men in your life is difficult and kind of puts it off to the last minute? Well, now there's an easy solution because grooming gift sets from Duke Cannon are available at Target. They're fun, they're useful, and they freaking smell so good. Take Frothy the Bear Man gift set. It's three big-ass bricks of soap that are infused with beer and booze, but they don't smell like beer and booze. They smell like citrus, oak barrel, and sandalwood. It's a great gift for any guy who cleans himself, so it really applies to everyone, whether they bathe frequently or not. Or there's the Beard That Stole Christmas gift set. It's a box set of beard goods, basically beard oils, beard washes. And the best thing is both of these packages that I just described are $20. That's right, $20. The Frothy the Beer Man gift set, you get three huge bars of soap. With the Beard That Stole Christmas gift set, you get two beard oils and one beard wash. And the thing is, these make great gifts, guys, because the packaging, it's so kitschy, it's fun. The packaging itself is worth the $20. The products are functional. Who isn't going to use beard oil or a beard wash? And who doesn't want a huge block of soap? And they're really great soaps. They smell really good. They're fun gifts, $20. They're kitschy, they're great. The men in your life will love them. If you've waited to the last minute, I mean, how many days do we have left till Christmas Eve and Christmas? Let me tell you, there is a solution. The next time you're in Target, look for Duke Cannon grooming products in the grooming section and pick this up. The Frothy the Bear Man gift set, $20. The Beard That Stole Christmas gift set, $20. Available at Target. And you know what? When you give this as a gift and the men in your life are thanking you, you can come back and thank me.
Yeah, they will, at the end of the day, they will, when they we have the scenes on the restaurants and the bars, they'll definitely give alcohol. I mean, of course, it's the most easiest thing to have people get loose and say stupid things and do stupid things. So I was always retracted it because, again, at the end of the day, I know that I was on the show, but I was working on the boat and I was working in the team and I was just doing my work. So my work ethic never allow me to go, okay, we're gonna drink and get drunk. So right. I would get a glass of wine or a beer, but I would never go after that. And the producers always would get very annoyed about me because I would never go after that red line, which they always, of course, they want and they will push you to that. But yeah. I was always kind of boring to them because I would never do that. And at the end of the night, I will be the one, the big brother, carrying on the drunk ladies back to the boat. And I actually have some episodes carrying Jen and Baker and yeah, because I was always sober.
Yeah. So. Who on the crew like try to create these storylines? Like what did Kate, like was Kate in on it? You know what I mean? Like you said, like it was her like fourth season. Like, was she like, oh, I know what to do now to make good TV. Like, was she on it in on it? Or like, was it other people like Captain Lee?
I mean, okay, so when I stepped in on that boat, I stepped with a very like big image about Kate because until season 5, I kind of liked Kate because of course like everyone says she's good on TV, she's a good drama, and I thought, yeah, okay, let's meet Kate and see how is everyone. And my first impression from Kate was straight away, okay, this person's not even worth of being you being kind to her. So She was so tangled into her character because she created a character and she was so into her own drama and the way that she needed to act in front of the camera that you couldn't even see the real Kate. I at the end of the season, I got a glimpse of maybe a minute of the real Kate. And I thought, okay, this is real you. And I told her like, why weren't you like that all the time? And she totally shut off completely and use that against me again by being that Kate that we all know. And that's how I think her place in the show got on my opinion got ruined after season 5 because she was getting more people and more people saying like, okay, enough is enough, like it's not about even creating drama or creating the show or whatever. Like she became really a mean and miserable person. And from my season, I couldn't see that straight away. I could see that. The fact that the crew was consuming drugs, alcohol, and the way that you would prioritize every single bad decision on the show and not prioritize your work on the boat. Because at the end of the day, I'm responsible. I know that boat needed to be taken care of and was never taken care of anyone. And yeah.
And when you try to talk to Kate at the end, like you said, that was off camera. Like you said, let's just have an honest conversation.
Exactly. You know, I have a big example with her that off camera, I share with her and I said, like, one of my dreams is to actually move to US, like to work in US. And I know that's always impossible because you need to have the sponsorship, you need to get a visa, blah, 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 blah. And then of course with Trump, that was even worse. But I shared that to her and she turned and looked at me and said, like, oh, I know, you know what? I know a lot of people in Miami. You can work on bars, you can get a sponsor for you, blah, blah, blah. And then, okay, the conversation died. And way after that, when the show actually came up, because when we film, when we do the season, the show only airs a year after, mm-hmm. because they have to do the editing, blah, blah, blah. So, which is funny because a lot of fans think that we're actually filming live, and a lot of people, like, the way they commenting, they're like, oh, but are you okay? They're like, yeah, it was a year ago.
Yeah.
But anyway, and then when the show started coming out, like, Kay was going horribly bad. She was shooting everyone and she was just so mean and so bad. Like, and I just hate, I honestly, like, I don't hate anyone, but Kitty is a person that I actually feel sorry for. Like, she would, I don't understand why a person can be like that when you have done nothing to that person or whatever. I don't know. And on the Twitter, she was using every single thing that we talked about. And even the fact that we had that conversation about the visa, she would turn completely against me on the tweet and make the fans think like I was using her, which was never the case because I don't need to use anyone to achieve my goals, and I've never did and I've never done it. So, and she, I don't know. It was very sad that she turned out to be the person that I've never thought she was.
I'll admit it. As important as it is for me to eat healthy and put the right nutrients into my body and hydrate, I'm really not great at it. I'm always on the go. I'm never making that a priority, and I'm always hungry. This was a real problem until I discovered 310 Nutrition. I love 310 Nutrition's water hydrators. You just add them to water and they make your water taste so much better. They also have refreshing lemonade mixes. My personal favorite, they're all in one shakes. I love their caramel sundae, their vanilla cake, the shamrock cream. I drink one of these shakes and it totally satisfies my hunger. They're low in fat and low carbs, which I love. They also satisfy my carb craving. But don't take my word for it. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code VELVETROPE and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 off your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and it's easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code VELVETROPE right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use code VELVETROPE.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Did she like not speak to you when the cameras weren't rolling? You know, was she just like, I have no interest in speaking to you as a human being, like, you know, when the cameras weren't rolling while you were on the boat?
I mean, she was just, you know, in straight off the bat, I think Kate and Captain Lee especially, but Kate also, I think they shared the same mentality. Because I was an American, for them straight away that was off, that they would try to avoid to talk to me or to have any kind of, I don't know, empathy or whatever. They were extremely cold, straight since day one, period. Captain Lee was actually very, very inconvenient a lot of times. He would make jokes by my accent. It was very, very, very uncomfortable sometimes to be with him. Even with his wife was very bad. I remember that we had a dinner. His wife joined the table and she never looked at me once or said hi or directed a word to me. And even that night, Captain Lee was drinking and he ordered a dessert, because we're on the islands of San Martin. Of course, we're going to have rum in every piece of food and whatever. And I will never forget that night. We were eating surfing turf, which was not good, by the way. And then at dessert, I remember that he ate something. And I was just sitting next to him and I was making the effort. I was so uncomfortable. And am I the kind of a person that when I'm uncomfortable, I just leave, period. I'm not gonna waste my time. But I was on the show, so I couldn't. I had a choice. So I made the effort trying to communicate to him and trying to see the good side of him. And he started to be a little bit tipsy. And then he literally forced me to take 2 spoons of his dessert, which was soaked in alcohol. It was like 2 fingers of alcohol on top of his dessert. And he knew I wouldn't drink because I don't like alcohol. I'm not a very hard drinker. I'm not. It is the reality. And I literally took 2 spoons. I feel sick afterwards just because he made me take 2 spoons with alcohol, which I didn't like at all. And just the fact that you have a person like him, a captain that does that to a crew member, which is off duty and needs to start the next day and doesn't make an effort for you to talk to you, but then he forces you to have 2 spoons of that dessert, which doesn't make any sense. For me, it was not even harassment. It was like spitting on me, like, oh, I am the captain and you do what I'm telling you to do because I'm the star of the show. And it was very like some days was definitely a down to me. And overall, I think the only reason that I went through the entire season, which was a season that I lost 10 kilos, which is like what, 20 pounds maybe? Is 20 pounds?
10 around, kilos, I think, yeah.
It made me lose 10 kilos. The production team was actually telling me like, oh, don't disappear on me or whatever. And they're like, people, I'm running 17 hours a day like a chicken with barely a meal on my stomach because I need to work on this boat. And only Brianna was the only person on that boat that would cheer me up and make me like, okay, no worry. Everything's going to go all right. Because again, I was junior on the work that I was doing. I've never worked as a deckhand. I'm an officer. So I was like, okay. And I had no support besides Brianna. So it was, yeah, it was a very tricky, intense season to begin with. So yeah.
And you lost all the weight just because what, you were so stressed out and working so much.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a combination of everything. I easily lose weight when I have to run a lot. Like, for me to maintain weight, because I have an extremely fast metabolism, I need to eat like every 3 hours. And in this industry, it's impossible, of course. You have breakfast, you have lunch, and you have dinner. And on the show, I barely have lunch sometimes. Some days I would just run at the end of the day and probably eat something at the end of the day. It was just a constantly run and run and run and run and run. And that took a ton of me, definitely, yeah.
And when Captain Lee did all this with the alcohol, that was off camera too. It was just like a dinner and he was like, it sounds like harassment. You say it wasn't. He was like just showing off, like, do this because I'm the captain. And you were like,
no, definitely like, no. It was definitely on camera. When they added it, of course, they didn't show none of that. They didn't show a lot of things to begin with after they edited that. To be honest, I think they, on my image, I think they portrayed really well. And I'm so grateful for the production team. The team is amazing. The guys that were there on the cameras, the makeup artists, like everyone there was exceptional. They were amazing. But yeah, of course, the network, the Bravo network, of course, they are the heads and they know and they decide what to put on the screen. And at the end of the season, of course, I was very happy that the way that I was portrayed was good. which is not very common in below deck because everyone gets ruined. And anyway, but yeah, I mean, besides that, I just wish that we would have had a much better connection on the season, and we had actually a proper team, and we worked together like we're supposed to. Because yeah, a lot of things happen without no reason.
Who was worse to you off camera, Kate or Captain Lee?
Oh, Captain Lee, I would never even see him. Kate definitely. Kate would be with us. And I will always ignore her because I got to a point that, of course, I knew the boat. I knew already the things that I had to do in my job, my duties, that I would look to the interior and look to her work and the girls, what they're doing inside. And I would go, what the hell is going on? Like, Kate only cared on that boat whatever was above her waist. So whatever was below her waist, because it wasn't showing on camera, she didn't care. The floor was disgusting. They would be dirty. They would not vacuum. They would not clean. They would do anything. They would just do the things that would the camera show. So I remember that one episode, the bilge, the main bilge, the one that she shows on the, you know, the thing that swings. And she had a thing that she was laying down on the swing on the bilge.
Yeah.
And that bilge, you could even enter. It was horrible. Literally every single thing was just thrown inside. And the bilge was giant. And I remember that day that I was so, so, so upset. The fact that how can you do that to a boat that is not even yours? You hire on the show. You portrayed as a chief stew. People think you're professional, but you're way, like, you're just not professional. And the funny thing is that the day that I say that and I look at that and I think, you know what? I'm going to do this. The following day, with no cameras, the entire bilge was organized and clean. And it wasn't done by me. So a lot of things were just done to cover her image on everything. But like her position was kind of like protected in a way because she would bring the ratings. But like the human she is or was there or she still, I don't know, it was just not, I mean, it was not even, proper to be on board. I know for a fact that Kate and some of the girls that worked on the boats on below deck would never find a position on the yachting industry, period.
And the fact that she didn't clean the stuff that wasn't on camera just because she knew that after four seasons,
yeah, of course,
this won't be seen. So I don't want to do the work.
Yeah, exactly. That's how they would do it. It's like, oh, okay, we can leave it. Like, the camera's not here.
And why wouldn't she find a job in the real, just like, does she have a reputation, like, in the yachting industry? Like, now that you've left below deck
for 10 years. No, the thing is, like, I know for a fact that she would drink while she was working. If you're chief stew, you don't mix Baileys with your coffee. You don't create drama. You are a leader. You're not a boss. You don't scream for people to people that is not from your department, like she did to me a lot of times. I remember that one episode, she trying to create a drama because Nico gave me a break of 10 minutes. And on the crew mess, we have the little screens, the cameras from the outside. So if you have a break, you can still see the outside while you have a tea. And I honestly, that moment, I was legitimately extremely tired and I needed to sit down because I couldn't feel my legs. I needed a tea, a break. And while I'm sitting, she just comes and storms and tell me that I'm not doing my job and I'm not doing anything. And you can't do that. You can step on the rank of a bosun, go and scream to a junior deckhand because I was junior deckhand when she has no idea if I'm actually allowed to be there or not, and stir up a drama because, of course, it is the show. So on the real yachting industry, it's something that you would never dream to do that because you get fired. It's just little things. The yachting industry, the reality of yachting industry, it's so much harder. You have hierarchy. You have every single thing in a paper to do. You have like, it's not like, oh, you just throw a line, get caught on the line on your ankle. You almost get killed from the propellers. Like, those things never happen. You have safety to be on board. You have drills. on Below Deck, you never seen a drill. You never seen how they put a life jacket or how they should act in case of a fire. Why would Kate like throw glass out of the yacht and claim on Below Deck that's something that yachties do? That's prohibited. You cannot throw garbage, even glass, through the boat out to the sea. So yeah, all of those things are, that's why the yachting industry doesn't like the show, because it's very fake in a lot of ways and created a wrong image on the yachting industry in general.
Do you hear that a lot? Like now that you've left Below Deck, like when you go for jobs, are people like, oh, you were on Below Deck? Like, we're not fan of that show.
You know, it's funny that since last year, I heard more and more of people recognizing me from the show than actually after the show came out. So it's kind of weird. So of course I have a couple people like every year that comes to me and is like, oh, you're Below Deck. Oh, nice to meet you, blah, blah. I never make a fuss of it. Even on my CV, the time that I was a junior deck and on the show, I don't put as Below Deck or show, or I don't even put Valor. I put the real name of the boat, because Valor is not even the real name of the boat. So regardless that was a show, it was still the work that I've done, and I still get miles, and I had to take certifications to be on board of that boat. So it is on my CV, but it's nothing mentioned about Bravo or Below Deck whatsoever. So when they go through my CV, they'll never see that unless they recognize my face, which of course happened a couple of times. Sometimes was not an issue. Sometimes it was an issue from privacy reasons, but in general, I've never stopped working, or I've never got stopped to work on a boat because I was on the show. I think it's up to of your skills, capabilities, and actually your career, and not because you've been on the show. And a lot of issues happens with those people that are on Below Deck is like they use the show to continue in the industry. And that's a huge mistake. I actually had this year, the Italian stewardess that was on the latest Below Deck season, the Mediterranean season with the Australian, Hannah. So Hannah had an Italian stewardess that apparently she was fired after a couple of days or whatever.
Yes.
And I was actually, apparently she was horrible. I remember that because I saw that on Facebook or something. I didn't even see the episode, but of course she went through Twitter and everything that she was really bad. And I was looking for a day worker to work on my boat, to help me turn around the boat. And she actually sends me a message saying like, oh, if you're looking for a girl, I'm your girl. I was actually just on Below Deck. And I'm like, as soon as I see that, I literally closed the conversation, because I would never have any girls from Below Deck on my boat to work with me. And then I send the message to Anne and I ask, okay, this girl was with you in this season, right? I actually asked for a reference, and she just said, don't even dream. Like, she's lunatic. And I didn't even answer. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you cannot use the show or create your reputation around a TV show, because the drama will ruin your career. And that's the thing. If you want to be serious about your work in the yachting industry, you need to focus on what you do on the yachting and not what you have done on the show that portrays an industry that is not even portrayed well. So yeah, that sense. Definitely not a lot of smart people. They're on the show that doing, or they actually don't pursue the industry anymore.
Do you know Hannah, like, other than that, or you just reached out to her because you're on Below Deck? And
No, I don't know Hannah personally. I know Captain Sandy and some crew of the season that came out the same year that came out mine, because I was doing some interviews in Italy, and the boat from the Met with Captain Sandy was the same place. So on the interviews, I was going and bumping against them, and I met all the crew. But not Hannah.
So like when you don't have Below Deck on your resume, which is very humble of you that you have the real name of the ship, but like when you go and you get these jobs and they recognize you from Below Deck, like, what's the reputation like in the actual industry for work of like Kate or like Captain
it's terrible.
Lee? Really?
Oh, like, it's terrible. Yeah, of course. No.
Just as far as an attitude?
No one sees them as professionals. That's the thing. They see them as the guys that work on a TV show, which if you decide to pursue the industry, it will never be good. Because if you see, for example, Kate, the amount of seasons that she was on the show, she literally could build a career outside of the show because the show is only 2 months per year. So what are you going to do with the remaining 10 months of your life? You're just sitting in your house, waiting for the show to come out and work on social media, and that's it. And that's not working on a social media, on your career. That's working for a show. We that will work on the adding industry, we work 12 months a year. We have summer and winter season. So I started this year, for example, on the boat. And even with COVID-19, I left from one boat in the beginning of the year. I started another one on summer for a private owner. And he wanted to keep me on board regardless if he, because he's from Dubai, regardless if he was in Dubai or whatever. And I'm still working on the boat, on an empty boat for winter. And he's a 12-month year round. So whatever works on Below Deck, it's Below Deck, period. It's anything else. They don't do anything else. Besides, I don't know if Captain Lee does some extra works or whatever. But the thing is, these people, they do appearances on shows or they go to Andy Cohen or whatever. And that's not the anime industry. That's a completely different world. That's something that cannot even like be compared with any Yachty.
And Captain Lee and Sandy have the same reputation in the industry as far as like they're not real. It's just for a show.
You know what? I'm very sad and disappointed with Captain Sandy. Extremely sad. I know that because I met her in person. I know because I saw the couple of first seasons of her franchise. And I was so happy that we had at that time someone that was so human, that was so professional, the work ethic was on point, the fact that she would focus in work, and that's what I saw. That was like the most similar from my season. It was like, okay, she's focusing work and making sure that everyone is on the same page, and she was very professional and responsible and blah blah blah. But then from these last seasons, I saw a glimpse of the drama and everything, and she's literally changed. She's changing. She's becoming that character as well that Bravo probably is pressuring her to do and blah, blah, blah. And it's just destroying her position. And me, that I was so happy seeing a woman captain, a female captain in this industry, working on the TV show, and she still was keeping the real roots and all the work that should be done on the boat, just being completely thrown out the window just to be focused on the show and just leave behind the respect and the ethic and everything with those little things that sometimes I'm like, what the hell are you doing? What the hell are you saying? And why you're doing this? And yeah, I'm a bit disappointed with her. I thought she would remain like she was on the first couple of seasons, but I can see the shift already. The same shift maybe that I saw in Kate after my, or before my season actually.
I mean, do Captain Lee and Sandy even try to get jobs in the industry anymore or not even? I mean, I know Kate doesn't.
Oh, I have no idea, to be honest. I know that Captain Lee, I think, was a freelancer. He would he would work on yachts as a captain, but from requests work. Like, I was also asked to be a chief to a mansion in Palma. I would be traveled to manage a mansion and with all the team in the house. And like, I mean, you have those perks. And as a captain, of course, Captain Lee, I don't think he needs to be worried about a season on the boat. I mean, he's not a young man anymore. He's an older man. Of course, he has his foundation of his career before the show even. So I think Captain Lee is a little bit different in regards to that. Kate, I think she would never work on industry, period. I don't think she even has the mental capability to work on this industry. And Captain Sandy, she's still in her middle ages. And I think if she wants to carry on in the industry besides the show, I think she still can, but she needs to start changing again her image on the show back to her beginnings and make sure that people like looks at her like, okay, she's a captain. She's not Sandy from Below Deck. She's the Captain Sandy. And but regardless, I mean, besides all of them, it's hard. It will be hard for them to pursue. I mean, I haven't met anyone from the show in this industry yet.
Like, you don't run into them when you go for real jobs or anything like that?
No. I saw, I think the, I don't know his name. It was a big curly hair guy from the season after mine. In the same area here in France. He was actually hanging out. Actually, no, I'm sorry. They were filming actually here when I moved here a year ago. They were filming, the Mediterranean version was filming here, and I bumped to some of them, but it wasn't on the work basis, like on the normal boat. It was on the show. So, yeah.
And what about, because you said Kate like puts Bailey's in her coffee. Like, did she film and like work drunk?
Okay. So when you have people drinking on the work and they don't get drunk, but they get over crazy and psychopathly way of working, you know, they're mixing something in there. And I know for a fact, because I saw even off camera, and I've said that on Twitter when this show came out, they were doing drugs, they were doing cocaine, they were snorting coke, and they were taking pills. And I know that for a fact. And I don't care if I don't have the proof, if I don't have a photograph file, whatever. I have no reasons to lie either. And whatever I'm saying, I'm not trying to create anything at all. I have no intentions to create anything. It is a truth. It was a fact. And for me, during this season, when I saw that, it's when a giant realization came to my mind. I was like, okay, this is a show. And a lot of things changed with me in the middle of the season and towards the end. I was like, I was still doing my work, but at the same time, I wasn't getting upset anymore. I was not getting emotionally attached to it anymore. I became much more colder with that aspect, because I knew for a fact that the people weren't okay. And this was all a fantasy. It was not real. It was not reality. That's the thing. What was supposed to be a reality show, it wasn't real. So I've just learned. And I've learned where the camera was, what I needed to do, and that's it.
Even though you don't have pictures or proof, like you saw people doing drugs, like with your own eyes?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. Even like I remember that one day, and I was in the car with them. We were traveling, we were going with on the cab with in St. Martin, and the boys, they got cocaine, and they were arguing with the cab driver because the cab driver was the one selling them, and then... It was crazy. It was overwhelming, because for me, I've never tried drugs. I've tried to smoke twice pot, and I have apparently the greenies, which my body rejects it, and I can't smoke that because I throw up all the time. So I give up on that. So I'm very a boring person. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. So for me, it was like, okay, if you want to do that, guys, it's okay. You can do it, but just don't forget the people around you because you have drugs. And that's what was happening, and especially that night. Everybody was just so into like, okay, let's cocaine and whatever, that they would forget that you actually have people that you're spending with the entire day with cameras on. This was our day off. Let's enjoy. And actually it was a dark day, which means that we didn't have cameras even. So it was our day off just for us and period. And it was me, Matt, Nico, Nico's brother, because Nico's brother came. I remember that he came on vacations and he was hanging out with us. And the other day, I remember the name, the ginger guy. I forgot, whatever. And they were just going all ballistics and trying. And maybe, I mean, everyone was having fun. But the things, yeah, a lot of things went off the rails just because, I don't know. It's hard to explain when you're not there, like only by everything goes, just everything is just so amplified. The emotions, like you guess, you don't get sad, you get extremely sad. You don't get happy, you get extremely happy. And it's just, I don't know. It's very, very strange.
And did you see, was it just the boys, or like you didn't see, did you see like Kate buy drugs?
Oh yeah. At the end, I remember that the girls, some of the girls were doing drugs as well.
Kate Chastain.
Yes, of course. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. I even found dollar bills rolled on top of the table.
So cocaine.
Yeah, of course.
And you didn't see Captain Lee.
Oh, no. The thing is, Captain Lee was never with us. Captain Lee would be with us on the dinners, or sometimes even not every time even. So Captain Lee was more off the scene at night. I mean, he's not as young as us, right? To hang out like that every time, and it's still he's the captain. He still had to drive the boat, so yeah.
But no. You saw Kate do the cocaine.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
Wow. And okay, so was this only like on the dark days, the days off? And was this off the boat, or they brought the cocaine on the boat?
Oh, no, that I don't know. I know for a fact that Jana, she had some prescription pills that would make her crazy, because every time she would drink alcohol, she would just transform like a cuckoo woman. And we knew that because she was mixing alcohol, because she would get crazy after one glass of alcohol. And I know that she was taking prescription pills for, I don't know what, would make her go really crazy. That was during our work hours. Our work hours, besides the alcohol, I don't know if they were doing drugs, because the only time that I saw was, of course, off camera or on the nights out that, yeah.
Because that's a fireable offense if you have drugs on board.
Exactly. You actually can lose your license. So just the fact that you have a prescription pills that you have to take on board, and you're not registered on with the officer or your captain on board that you actually have those pills on board, you can lose your license and be fired. Because you have to, even if you bring supplements, even your bodybuilding supplements like pre-workout, protein, you have to register those on board. So, yeah.
Which is what happened. I don't know if you watched it. That's what happened this past season with like Malia and Captain Sandy and Hannah. I don't know if you watched this past season. Hannah got fired by Sandy because she had a prescription, Valium, and then there was a pen. I don't know.
Oh, the CBD. Okay.
I'm sure,
oh,
like, okay. I don't know.
I thought she left the season. No, and you tell me that she was fired.
Sandy fired her because she had on.
Oh, drama.
And there was a lot of back and forth about whether Sandy made the right decision and Malia.
Of course, she made the right
this.
Decision. Yeah, yeah. The thing is, and the only reason that you have to report that is that you have to have a clearance from your doctor that the medication you're taking does not affect the work that you're doing on board and does not jeopardize the safety and security of every single person that is on that boat. You cannot have an accident or have someone killed or having a boat on fire because, oh, you're taking pills and you had no notion of what you're doing. So every single thing you have to take that might change your work, like the way you think, you have to report, period. And any prescription on any pills, you have to report. So Captain Senny, on my opinion, did the right thing.
So, right. So like, even if you have a prescription, it's a valid prescription, but you don't report it, that's still a fireable offense.
Of course. Yeah, definitely.
And that's what all the drama was this past season with Malia. She was the bosun and she turned Hannah in. And then that's when people went crazy online saying it's a prescription, but Sandy said maritime law, it doesn't matter. You didn't report it.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. You have a lot of prescription pills that makes you drowsy. Imagine that you're on a night watch and you're on prescription and it makes you drowsy and makes you sleep. And then the boat runs to a rock. Like having Malia actually reporting Hannah with that, actually, she's a bosun, so she has the right to go step directly to the captain. And the captain's decision, it was in order to prevent actually an accident that in future could eventually happen. So I think both of them were totally right.
Well, Malia got a lot of hate online for it, and as did Sandy.
Of course they will have, because the people that watched the show, they have no idea of actually what is the work on board. So
yeah, it became a thing. So there you go.
But of course, I mean, that needs to be happen on the show. I mean,
if you ran into like Kate or Captain Lee today, what would you say? Like,
absolutely
just say
nothing. Absolutely nothing. I'm that kind of a person that if that person has done nothing to me that would change my life in a good way, I literally have nothing to say or approach that person. I mean, for me, a human being has to impact me in a way, has to make me like think, okay, that person is going to be good to me. And if both of them weren't good to me, I have no, because for me, the thing is, if I would find them on the street, I'm like, oh, hello and hi. For me, that's being hypocrite, like being fake. And I'm not that. So I would just ignore them and just pretend they were just any other person on the street.
I'm kind of the same way. Like, once you're dead to me, you're dead to me. I mean, if you've wronged me, I don't, I have a great life. Like, I don't need to speak to you. Like, just good luck, but I'm not interested in speaking to you as a human being. Thanks for tuning in to our part one sit down with Bruno Duarte. And oh my God, you need to stay tuned for part two. He clearly is not holding back. We talk more about Kate Chastain, more about Captain Lee. We talk about his near-death experience while filming Below Deck, the producer's reaction to that, and what he really thinks of Andy Cohn. Oh my God, you have to stay tuned for part two of our sit-down with Bruno Duarte from Below Deck. Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review, because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones, and the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.